You're listening to Star Wars Splash Page Comics in Review.
This is episode number 258, and unlike the printed editions of Star Wars comics, we are never delayed, nor do we miss a week. Isn't that right, Jeff?
Geek me all-knowing box set, stay open May 4th. I'm hoping Luke gonna be hot as before, cause Ren looks hardcore, and I don't want Sith running the galaxy.
That's right, we may not actually be on the mic together, but we haven't missed a week yet.
Yeah, that was a fluke, though. That was just that one time, and it lacked that chemistry.
You are correct, Matt. The chemistry just was not there, as it typically isn't when I'm talking to myself. So glad to have you back, glad to have me back. We're glad to be back, and we're glad our listeners stuck with us through our technical difficulties last week.
Yeah, I appreciate that very much. All seven of you.
No, I believe you said our Twitter follows were up to a new high. We don't know how long it'll last, but we do appreciate everybody who does follow us and engage with us in all manner of social media.
We have surpassed 4,500 followers. You know, that's organic.
That's wild.
So that's kind of cool. So thank you for everyone who follows us on Twitter.
Absolutely.
Hopefully you find the content worthy. And you
agreed, yeah. And we do have three books to discuss this week, so we will dispense with any other pleasantries and dump right into the news, Matt. Before we talk about Monster of Temple Peak number 3, what have we got to speak of news-wise?
Delays. And we're not talking about the tasty potato chips.
It's not just a river in Egypt.
Or the congressman from Texas, I believe. So, Star Wars Volume 3, which collects the War of the Bounty Hunters crossover issues for that series, that's going to be 13 through 18, has been pushed to December 29th from December 8th.
No.
Now, the big question is where in the world is issue 12? Because it was not in Volume 2 in that trade. So, and it's not in Volume 3. So it's kind of like, huh, where did it go?
Hmm.
And it's interesting because that issue in particular, if you may not recall, is the one where Leia and Kes Dameron, you know, had that long conversation, you know, about their mutual love lives. So it's kind of a mystery. We'll see what Marvel says. We've sent them a couple of emails today going, hey, I was just curious, what's going on with this issue? So,
I wonder if they're planning to put it in some sort of thematic trade. Later on.
Possibly. It's a definite possibility. So, also delayed, Star Wars Legends Rise of the Sith Omnibus. And it's been pushed back to February 9th from November 3rd.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that's a pretty big delay, which is kind of funny because, you know, this is all material that was printed by Dark Horse. So it's already in-house, so to speak. Of course, you know, when Marvel does these omnibus editions, you know, they do go through and, touch up colors here and there and, you know, just, you know, make some minor editorial changes. Not that anything noticeable, but you just make it cleaner for the representation in the omnibus. But, you know, that's a pretty thick tome because, you know, that collects Jedi the Dark Side 1 through 5, Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan, Last Stand on Ord Mantell 1 through 3, Jedi Council Acts of War 1 through 4. Star Wars from 1998, 0 to 6, Darth Maul 1 to 4, Dark Horse's adaptation of The Phantom Menace, you know, and that's issue half and 1 through 4, and then the one-shots, you know, Anakin Skywalker, Queen Amidala, Qui-Gon Jinn, and Obi-Wan Kenobi, as well as material from Star Wars Tales 1, 3, 5, 7, 9, and 10, 13, 14, 20, and 24.
Next time, just tell us which books it doesn't include. I think that would be easier.
You're probably right. It probably would be easier. So.
And I really hope nobody was counting on getting it for Christmas.
Well, you know, I was kind of bummed. I was looking forward to it. But that explains, you know, why, you know, I hadn't gotten any emails from Cheap Graphic Novels about, hey, we're, you know, we're getting ready to, you know, we'll prep this for shipping. So, but, you know, it happens. It happens. So, those are the two big delays. You know, things may change because of, you know, the fluidity with the packaging industry. And that by packaging, I mean the paper production industry. You know, as well as the adaptation to the new distribution from Penguin House from Penguin Random House. So, but, you know, it's kind of in flux, not greatly, but somewhat. You know, of course, As always, you can find the latest Star Wars schedule, publishing schedule, in our show notes for the latest episode that's live. As a matter of fact, you know, like say like last week's episode, I updated it tonight. And of course, this is what, Monday, October 25th. I updated it with the latest scheduling changes. You know, so, you know, if you're ever in doubt or need a quick way to find out, just, you know, reload and or re-download the latest episode of the podcast and you can find it. We also put it on the Twitter feed and, of course, the Facebook page. Easier to find on the Facebook page, obviously, because, you know, we're a little bit more judicious with what we put on the Facebook page. In other news, Nick Brokenshire, or Nick Brokenshire, friend of the show, whom we've had on, he revealed on October 25th that his cover B for Star Wars Adventures Volume 2, Number 14, which, as of this recording, is due January 19th, he's got Deva Lompop on his cover, and she is fronting a group of Nile members, as well as what looks to be a Grenadier Astromech, which is essentially a punk Astromech with a triangular eye and spikes on the head, and it looks awesome. And you know, and Deva Lompop has you know, in all of her finery and her plumage, and she's got a, you know, pointing right at you like a twisted Star Wars Uncle Sam, I want you for the Nile poster. So definitely go ahead and let your comic book shop know that you want that one, because that's going to be worth having. And of course, you know us, we are big fans of Nick's work. You know, whenever he graces a cover, we are there. We are so there.
So, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. And then last but not least, not so much news, but I do think this bears pointing out, is Mark Laming, who's an artist that we follow on Twitter. You can find him under Monkey/Mark, M-A-R-C. He did a commission that he called Poker Night with the Gang. And it's, you know, it's K2SO, L from Solo, A Star Wars Story, IG-88, R2, C-3PO, BB-8, and EV-9, the torture droid from Return of the Jedi. They are all playing Sabacc, and it looks amazing. So it's a black and white sketch, and it's pretty cool. And yeah, we have definitely got that on the Twitter feed. That is definitely worth searching out. And, you know, Mark is a worthy follow as well on Twitter, because he posts a lot of work in progress stuff and, you know, and original art that he's doing for other books as well. So, you know, we always love following that guy. He's so much fun. For this news, a little bit of spoiler territory. So maybe give it about 30 seconds and fast forward. But Daniel Acuna's variant cover for Bounty Hunters number 18, which is due out November 24th, features Valance in an Inferno Squad uniform.
Ooh.
Yeah. Now, who knows? You know, it's a comic book cover, so you know, it may not reflect what's in the story. But writer Ethan Sachs has been kind of cagey about what happens to Valance. And, you know, last we saw, Valance was in War of the Bounty Hunters number 5. And, you know, he had been exploded. Wasn't dead, but he was certainly down for the count for now. So definitely have eyes on that cover. It's going to be a good one. So other than that, the January solicits have been released. We've got a great one shot coming. I love this. This is so good. It's by Daniel Jose Older and Harvey Tolabow, it's written by Daniel Jose Older, and Vita Ayala, with art by Tony Bruno and Joe Choil Hong, with covers by Jason Liu and Choil Hong. And it's I kid thee not, The High Republic Adventures Galactic Bake Off Spectacular. It is a 48-page one-shot, and essentially the story is Torben Buckets of Blood Buck and Cantum Psy face off in a brutal, intense, ruthless bake-off. And as the solicit says, lightsabers and Jedi robes are put aside in favor of whisks and aprons as the two bake Master Yoda's special pastry recipe. But this recipe requires one extra special ingredient, a story. And so, during the course of this issue, Buckets of Blood and Cantum recount the tale of an epic battle as they whisk away, both hoping to win the prize of Padawan approval. So this should be really good. And here's the great thing, is Master Yoda's pastries recipe is included in the issue. So,
I will have to get a physical copy of that. Absolutely.
Oh my, yeah. Well, you know, if you need me to, I will pick you up a copy. No problem. You know, this issue is due out January 5th, and I expect everyone on Star Wars Twitter to have pictures of their pastries by that night. So, because I really,
I don't know if it'll make it by that night, but I'll definitely get some made by the weekend.
Oh, it should be, it should be so much fun. I think, you know, I really do think it'd be a lot of fun. So, but it does look fun. Speaking of the High Republic, of course, StarWars.com revealed the conclusion of Phase 1 of the High Republic, which starts in January. And there was a great poster by Phil Noto that shows a lot of the Jedi we know and love. Starlight Beacon in flames. So, yeah, they went there.
That didn't
there.
Take long.
No, they went there. So I'm just scared pantsless, because I was really, really kind of hoping that, you know, we'd have them for a little while longer. But, you know, hey. That's Star Wars for you. It will break your heart, as always. So just how it does, just how it does. And we had talked about, I think last week we had talked about, you know, a couple of the new, you know, the new miniseries they announced, the one, oh goodness gracious, what's it called? The Halcyon Legacy. And, you know, kind of, you know, debating when it was going to start, you know, would it be January, February, March? Well, the five issue miniseries starts in January. So, you know, that's very cool. We don't have to wait too long for that one. As a matter of fact, it is due out on January 19th. And of course that's being written by Ethan Sachs and illustrated by Will Sliney. And again, as we said last week, yeah, it's a comic book about the Galactic Star Cruiser attraction at Disney World. But you know what? So is Galaxy's Edge, and Galaxy's Edge, that miniseries turned into some really compelling Star Wars storytelling.
It really did.
And it didn't have to, but it did. So I am fully, fully expecting the same from the Halcyon Legacy. So fingers crossed. So who knows? We will see. And that's going to do it for news for now.
All right. Well, I think that's plenty for 1 week. We do have 3 books to discuss. We have Monster of Temple Peak number 3. We have War of the Bounty Hunters, IG-88. And we have Darth Vader number 17. So let's start with, do a quick overview of Monster of Temple Peak issue number 3. And we've talked before about how it's kind of difficult to review this book because it wasn't designed as a monthly book or even like a series. It was designed as a one-shot graphic novel. So reviewing it a little bit at a time is almost like reviewing a novel that's in the midst of being written.
Exactly.
So we'll give it a kind of a big overview. But would you school us on the creative team on this one again, Matt?
Absolutely. Of course, Kevin Scott is our writer. Our pencils and ink are by Rachel Stott. Paints are by Vita Efremova of Watermark Studio. And Nicola Ree from Watermark Studio. Production and design is by Johanna Natalie. The assistant editor on this book is Riley Farmer, and the editor, of course, is Heather Antos. Again, a lushly illustrated issue. I would love to see Rachel Stott on more Star Wars work. I mean, I know it takes a lot of time to reach this level of illustration, and it shows. Which is why I think initially this was initially planned as a graphic novel. And again, to reiterate, IDW never said why they decided to break it up into a four issue miniseries. And what's even more intriguing is we still haven't gotten the solicit, so to speak, for when this will be collected as a trade paperback. So who knows? But anyway, it's just, you know, this is Ty's further adventures, you know, doing the monster hunting along with some flashbacks. And it's got a great frenetic pace to it. It's gorgeous to look at, but I don't know why. I've tried to read this thing 3 times, and I just, part of my brain is just like, no, wait.
Yeah, I think
4 issues are out.
I think part of the problem for me, and this is just probably more of a failing on my part, is the fact that this is, It's a long story because it's, you know, again, it was supposed to be a, you know, a graphic novel. So our four issues are longer than the typical comic issue, I guess probably about the same length, but
they're longer.
They're a little longer. And so we're being
pages or so.
We're being asked to spend a lot of time with people that we don't know.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, it's people from the books. So,
well, but people that I don't know. Yeah. And I feel like if these were characters that I was a little more familiar with, I might be enjoying spending a little time with them a little more. But, you know, the story itself so far is interesting. It's finally going somewhere with this issue because there's a reveal during it that is very reminiscent of, you know, stories we've seen from other in other areas. I've seen this seems like a kind of like a Buffy the Vampire Slayer type story.
Oh, yeah. And it's a well-paced story. I mean, you know, Captain Scott knows how to script a really good story.
Right, but I think it's just the fact that we're not seeing it in the manner in which it was designed to be read. We talked about it before. There's no obvious breakpoint. This one had a much more compelling breakpoint than any of the other two issues, but it still it just feels like the chapters are sort of arbitrarily.
In a way, it does. And it's odd that it does, but you know, I have discovered that we are not alone, you know, because I've had people message us via Twitter and people have posted on our Facebook page who have said the same thing. That, you know, it's like, you know, I love it and I love reading it, but I want to wait until I can get everything, until I can get it all in one sitting.
And I would be interested to know what the creative team thinks about the decision to break it up like this, because again, you have to assume that, especially the, you know, the way the art and the layout was done was in the interest of having it all read in one sitting.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, maybe one day, you know, maybe we can corner Kevin and ask him that. So, but for now, I'm still happy to get it. I'm not complaining. Don't get me wrong.
And you're right. The art, colors, inks, everything is just absolutely gorgeous.
This is a supreme creative team. And, you know, if hopefully, fortunately, you know, gosh willing, we will see them do something else together as well in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, I will say the art on this, I would equate to early Disney era animation, where every frame was a painting, and that's really what this seems like.
Definitely so.
So again, if you've been reading it, you know, this, I feel like this issue is a step up from the first two. But if you are waiting until it's completed, I think that's probably the best idea. Cause I have a feeling the story is going to go somewhere that's at least interesting, but I really do feel like I would be having a little more fun with it if I was at all familiar with any of the characters that were being presented in the book.
Absolutely.
So, okay. So it's just, we're just still sort of in a holding pattern on that one. So we're going to take a short break and come back to discuss World of Bounty Hunters IG-88.
Born to Kill.
And we are back. And I thought War of the Bounty Hunters was done. We got two new books this week with that War of the Bounty Hunters banner on them. So,
dude, it's not done. Not by a long shot.
It's never ending.
We got to still get through... through November 3rd, man. So it's not done.
Well, we certainly, I'm certainly not complaining, because both of the books with that banner on it this week are I think really great, starting with War of the Bounty Hunters IG-88. And you mentioned that the title Born to Kill is on the cover, and this cover is so cool.
It is awesome. Oh my gosh. And that's just the main cover. I mean, there are some variants that are just out of sight. All the variants are out of sight. I mean, you know, this main cover is by Mahmoud Azrar and Matthew Wilson doing the colors. There's a Bounty Hunters Handbook variant by Ron Friends, Tom Palmer, and Nolan Woodard. And then, of course, Casper Wingard, who did some great stuff for Dr. Aphra Volume 1. He's got a cover. And then Ray Anthony Height, who did work on Dr. Aphra Volume 2, as well as some really, really, really bitchin', you know, THR variants. He's got a great cover with the colors, Guru EFX. So, but the writer on this one is Rodney Barnes, who, if you are not reading his book, Killadelphia, we need to have a talk because you are missing out on one of the best horror comics that's probably ever been published ever.
I'm going to have to check it out just for the title alone.
No, totally. And of course, you know, Rodney also, you know, just he's Rodney. You know, he's so good. You know, and I love him because, you know, his writing in Star Wars is, well, how shall we say this? it's so good. And I have really enjoyed it. I mean, he's the one who wrote the Lando miniseries Double or Nothing. You know, and of course, you know, that was such a great miniseries that, you know, it didn't have to be that good, but it was. So, I mean, goodness gracious, it was just superb. And I was so stoked, you know, when the solicit came out and we saw that he was writing it, because I figured if there's anybody who can capture the cold cruelty of IG-88, it's Rodney. And you know what? He has done so. He has just nailed it. He nailed it. Art by the artist on this book is Gio Villanova. Colors are by Antonio Fabela. VCs, Aria Mayer did letters and production. And of course, Tom Groneman was the editor on this book. Mark Panizia, the senior editor. For Lucasfilm, for both books, Robert Simpson, the senior editor. Michael Siglane, our creative director. Troy Alders, our art director. The story group, Matt Martin, Pablo Hidalgo, and Emily Shkukani. And of course, from the Lucasfilm art department, Broaxium's number one fan, Phil Shostak. I believe you and I are Broaxium's number two biggest fans.
Probably. So. Probably. Maybe 1A. And you know, we normally do a really deep dive on these books and provide a lot of the dialogue, but I want to get away from that in this one because I want everyone to go read it. This dialogue is very poetic. And
exceedingly poetic. And this, you know what? If there was a Star Wars animated series, or even if there was just a Star Wars series on Disney Plus that was kind of like, you know, in the milieu of Amazing Stories, you know, where they had little 30-minute teleplays, this is your first script right here.
Well, there kind of is with Visions, but this is just less anime inspired, less Japanese inspired. But yeah, I keep like hoping that they're gonna. Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, I think I would prefer to see an animated version because this book is beautiful. The first page and the last page are both, to me, sort of bookend the book perfectly. No pun intended, and just sort of haunting to me.
It is spectral almost. And we open up, and essentially we are on a garbage world. It's a planet-wide junkyard, and you know you're in for a hell of a story when your opening words are simply "everything dies," and then you know
when it's not followed up with "not everything really lives."
Yeah, just for organic beings, when death arrives, there may be tears from those whom the loss affected. Ceremonies to mark the end of one's life story. For the enlightened, such as the Jedi and Sith, there was the belief that the spirit endures beyond the demise of its physical host. And as you read that last little speech bubble, you see IG-88 dismembered and destroyed thanks to the work of Darth Vader in the pages of the Darth Vader comic book. And it just goes on to say, these beliefs, whether true or imagined, provide hope that the dead will not be forgotten. For droids, there is no such hope. No matter the greatness to which their feats rise, the moment said service is no more, so too is their legacy. Such is the case for IG-88. Although its reputation was forged in victories throughout the galaxy, the legacy of even the greatest of droids ends at death. And then we get a very well-designed page of backstory.
Right. If you didn't read the Vader book, it brings you up to speed, but it just reiterates that he was hired by the Umbaran to defeat Vader, and he thought he had it all figured out, but he forgot that Vader could use strategy, which is outside of science, and you can't overcome the force with logic and planning. And we see his head just blow off.
Yeah.
And he says, ultimately, defeat was certain for IG-88, as was death.
and then we cut back, you know, again, and then we see a ship land on the planet.
Really strange shaped ship.
I like
this
ship, though. It's really
cool. I do, too.
You know, scanning the junkyard pile, scanning, And then we find out who our narrator is, and that is RB-919. And he lands, and he emerges from his ship with a hover cart. My name is RB-919. I recommission droids. And he finds IG-88. And he realizes, you know, because this is the task for which he was hired. And he grabs and gathers up the pieces of IG-88, and he declares, I am going to rebuild IG-88. He will be as he once was, and nothing will stop me, as sentinel droids on the junk planet fire at him. And this guy just takes them all down. And so what we learn, because again, we don't want to give away too many spoilers, is that...
He's kind of a valance a little bit. He's part synthetic, part organic.
Very much so. And you know, there were elements of him that kind of reminded me of Dr. Silo back from the you know, volume one of Darth Vader.
Right.
But he has been hired by Deva Lompop to rebuild and retrofit and return IG-88 back to the field, if you will.
Because I just want to say, digital page 9, the middle two panels, but especially the one with of Deva Lompop from behind, yeah. The way her hair is drawn and shaded and colored.
Oh, I just, so many hues. And those are her feathers. That's not even hair.
That's what I meant, her feathers. I just love the way it looks, and I wish that speech bubble had been moved away from it so I could just see it all unfettered.
Unfeathered. Feathers unfeathered.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I don't know why they just struck me. And then the panel right after that where he's welding and you see the sparks and everything. I just love the way this book looks.
It's so richly detailed, you know, and then, you know, we turn the page and we get a full page summary of the War of the Bounty Hunters.
And I love this. This is one I would love to have.
Oh, this would be a great piece of original art. I'm going to have to set up an alert for this one to see if it actually pops up in like on Cadence or something. But you know, it essentially it recaps the entire 5-issue miniseries, and it does so quite effectively. You know, we see Boba Fett, you know, fighting Bosk and Forlom and Dengar and Zuckuss, and Balance is there looking very much like a Terminator. And that's no criticism, because again, as I have tried to inform people when they come back at me on Reddit or something, well, yeah, it looks just like the Terminator. I can't believe they ripped off the Terminator. So, yeah, except Valance was around several years before the Terminator. So,
right.
And then, you know, this essentially follows, you know, what RB does. And not going to say what happens, but, you know, when IG-88 comes to life and is resurrected, it never ends very well for anyone involved at all. And, you know, he does make contact with Deva, and she essentially says, you are now under the employ of Crimson Dawn, Lady Kira's contingency plan to secretly reacquire Solo after the auction. And she puts IG-88 on the road to tracking down Boba Fett. So, I mean, it's just crazy.
Yeah, it is. And you know, he takes off, goes after him. And I love that, you know, again, his voiceover, the writer has really captured his, all of the voices really, but his as well. And I love the way that IG-88's voiceover is, it has like a pale gray background. And then eventually we get Boba Fett's inner monologue, which is green hued in a green hued block. And it's just simple things like that, I think, are just ingenious and a great way to just quickly let the audience know what's going on, or the reader, I should say, what's going on where. Because
it's safe to just call the audience. I mean, because this is a TV show that you know, these are like very refined, polished, you know, ready to publish storyboards for a TV show. I mean, this thing is script ready. This thing is ready to go into production.
It is. It is. Give it to Favreau or somebody. Yeah, I don't know. But even Fett's inner monologue just sounds like Boba Fett. You know, he doesn't want to land a Jabba's palace because everyone's going to be looking for him. And I love that IG-88 even it assumes he's going to be double crossed, because Fett would never let his his security information be leaked. And, you know, we talked about the, you know, this showdown between he and Fett that happens here. And again, we don't want to give a whole lot away, but there's a showdown, and Fett leaves him in one piece and leaves him to ponder why. And he ends up back, I believe, on the same junk planet as before, right?
Yeah, totally. Totally. And that's, you know, that's why I really liked, you know, your notion of how it bookends.
Yeah, because that last image of him looking up at the stars, it's gorgeous. And it's freaking IG-88.
It is, yeah, and it's a droid. And all of a sudden, I'm just, you know, it's like that old Starship Troopers meme, you know, the desire to know more intensifies. So, the showdown with Boba Fett goes about as well as you would expect, but they both survive, you know, because we know that Boba Fett gets Han to Jabba, you know, that's no secret, but just to have this final obstacle for him, and to again show why Boba Fett is Boba Fett, and you know, and it's like I said, you know, I've said it before, it's odd that, you know, for a character that had what 5 minutes of screen time in The Empire Strikes Back and what ten minutes in Return of the Jedi, you know,
now he probably had 5 minutes in toto.
and he has proven such a compelling character and a compelling draw, and now we know why. But to see IG-88 like this, because I, you know, I won't lie, but I first, when the, you know, the first time I saw The Empire Strikes Back when it came out back in 1980, you know, seeing IG-88 on the Star Destroyer, I was like, that's awesome. What an awesome droid, you know. And that was, you know,
and I suddenly want a cup of coffee.
Exactly. And then, you know, and then that year, I remember, because that year, in December of 80, you know, for Christmas, I got the 12-inch IG-88, or, you know, I mean, or maybe it was 81. I got the 12-inch, and I loved that thing. I mean, even when I air quote outgrew my toys, unquote, I still had that IG-88 12-inch figure on my shelf in my room because it was just so cool. You know, and I've just always liked that notion of a droid that, you know, just kills.
You know, right,
and has no compunction about doing so. But this issue, it continues the trend of all four of these War of the Bounty Hunters one shots. I mean, all of them were great stories, and each of them has their strengths. And, you know, here's the thing: none of them have weaknesses. Not a single one of these issues. I mean, this is just some very superb prime storytelling. And yeah, and by having the different writers come in and write these characters and give them these different voices, that just made it even more astounding.
I agreed. I still think the Boosh one is probably my favorite, but I don't know, this one is a strong issue.
It is a strong issue because
this is one of the best one shots I've read in a long, long time. It is,
you know, and of course, with some of these one shots, obviously, you know, we know what happens to Jabba. You know, yeah, you know, he comes, you know, we know what role he's going to play. The Four Lom and Zuckus story, you know, that's going to feed into the next arc of Bounty Hunters, and, you know, and the Crimson Rain miniseries. Boosh, oh my gosh, who knows where the Boosh one shot could go? I mean, because there's just so much of it. There's so much potential, and I really, there's no way Alyssa Wong is not given free rein to expand on the Boosh one shot. There's just no
way. I hope.
There's no way at all. So, but and then of course with the, you know, with this one, you know, IG-88, he's there, he's whole, and he's waiting. So, just well done all the way.
Agreed. And equally well done, I feel like, and I think you'll agree, is Darth Vader number 17, starting with that cover. Every bit as striking as the IG-88 cover. A very simple image, but very striking. You know, Vader in profile with the lightsaber behind him, and the title, Just Rewards.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's never a good idea.
Oh, definitely so. And just, you know, and this is great because, you know, this issue, like some of the previous tie-ins, it gives us another vantage point of stuff we've already read, but this issue is more of an Ochi of Bestoon issue than anything else. But it also, you know, we'll spoil it as we get toward the end, but it does feed directly into the upcoming Crimson Rain miniseries, you know, and it, and it's very upfront about it. So, but yeah, written by Greg Pak, art by Rafael Ayinko, colors are by Alex Sinclair, letters are by Virtual Calligraphy's Joe Caramagna. This main cover that you love so much, that's by Aaron Cooter and Richard Isanova. Variant covers include the Chris Sprouse, Carl Story, and Niraj Menon Lucasfilm 50th anniversary variant. And then, of course, the Ron Friends, Tom Palmer, and Nolan Woodard Bounty Hunter handbook. Assistant editor on this book, Danny Kazem. Editor is Mark Panizia. And, of course, the same crew from Lucasfilm that we talked about at the top of IG-88. And we open up, and we are back on Jakara, you know, which we are familiar with because of the War of the Bounty Hunters miniseries. There is the Vermilion, the flagship of Crimson Dawn. And it's Ochi fighting Sly Moore, the Umbaran. Excuse me, sub-administrator.
she's been demoted. Sub-administrator, yeah.
and we essentially see the events of, you know, War of the Bounty Hunters number 5, you know, because, you know, the Hutts are moving in on the Imperial shuttle that's carrying Solo. And, of course, Sly is, you know, trying to abate Ochi from killing her. She's like, look, come on, the Hutts are trying to steal Solo. Do you think your master wants that? Look. And, you know, she does a little holo vid. We see the Hutt fleet coming after the shuttle. And, you know, and Sly adds, we all saw Lord Vader take Solo from Jabba. She's right, we did. And I can't imagine he'd want you to squabble down here in the snow while the Hutt's taken back. And Ochi's like, huh? You know, and then this is again where we sort of get that repeat, you know, because, you know, we've got Boku the Hutt up there, and, you know, he is leading the fleet to attack the shuttle. Vader, meanwhile, is, of course, chasing Luke Skywalker, focused intently only on Skywalker. And so Sly is trying to get Ochi, look, tell him, Ochi, if Vader intervenes, you know, he could stop them from stealing Solo. And Ochi's like, just a second, just 1 minute. He only wanted Solo as bait for the Skywalker boy. So why distract him when he's about to kill the kid on his own? And of course, Ochi sees conspiracies everywhere. You're just trying to protect Skywalker again, aren't you, Umbaran? As always, I serve the Emperor, Ochi. Yeah, sure. Tell you what, we'll let the executor's ties take care of Solo. We're just talking about Hutts here, after all. And then, of course, we cut back to what we'd already seen, you know, with Boku saying, you know, for the glory of the clans, you know, destroy the Imperial flagship. And then again, what we saw, you know, with, you know, Vader had warned Piet, look, don't disturb me unless it's from the Emperor himself. So Piet very wisely contacts the Emperor and, you know, explains what's going on. And then the Emperor says, you know, I want you to deal with these Hutts personally. So, you know, Vader is like, all right, it's the Emperor's will. I got to follow the Emperor's will. But before he leaves, you know, he messages Luke, you know, you cannot escape me, my son. But today you will. And this is kind of new because we see, because my master has shown his hand. And Luke says, what? He wants you alive. So it will have to be enough to know your fear. But even better, to measure his. And of course, we get this inset panel of Palpatine going,
And the way Palpatine is drawn there, I love the way that they did put the red under his eyes.
Oh, it's creepy.
And it's not something I've seen before. And I really, really like that image.
It is. Ooh, mercy.
Yeah. And then we get to see Vader slaughtering the Hutts.
Which, you know, again, we saw, you know,
but the women and the children.
But and again, we also see that Vader carries a grudge, you know, because he tells Boku from the beginning, you hesitated when the droid crush attacked me on Z9 City 7. That was the moment. You chose your destiny. And then Boku here, getting a little uppity, a little brave, even for a Hutt. Oh, I assure you, I chose it much earlier. And I joined Crimson Dawn. Dun, dun, dun. And then Vader, and the way this panel is drawn, the way his helmet is lit up by his blade, you. And then the droid is great. He's actually surprised. How delightful. You've chosen foolishly. Why? Because I'll die? You just said you were always going to kill me anyway. In a galaxy of emperors and wizards, there's no way for the lowly souls like us to win this game. Unless we stand together. You stood together, and still, you die.
just stabs him all the way through. And I love the look on Boku's face. Again, the colors in this book are phenomenal.
Alex Sinclair is, you know, bringing the A game for sure.
Yeah, it's great. And I love, he's still talking trash even with a hole in him. He's like, but so do you. Gak, are we just perfectly positioned, sir? It has been my pleasure to bring the dawn. And Vader says no, and we have this crack as he just destroys the droid. I just destroys him right as it blows up. And of course, Boku says too late. And I can't really tell what's going on in this next panel. Is this something exploding on board the Executor, or is this something crashing into the Executor?
I think it's a little combination. I think what it is, you know, Gak has exploded. So essentially, Boku is scuttling the ship. It explodes above the Executor. But I don't think it really does any damage to the Executor, because you can see it starts to fall back to Jakara. And then we see, this ball of different metal sheets. And apparently, clearly what's happened here is Vader, you know, at the moment of the explosion, has pulled all of this debris together to shield himself to survive the fall, you know, through the atmosphere onto Jakara.
I completely missed that's what happened. Thank you. Now that you're explaining it, I can see it. I just completely missed it. I was reading it. I was probably trying to read it too fast.
That's okay.
And I just couldn't tell what was going on.
I just thought it was great. I was like, okay, that makes a lot of sense. You know,
he's falling. Now that you see it, it's great. Yeah, it's genius.
Mercy, mercy. So,
and meanwhile, back on the Executor, we have what's his name, the blue guy, Masamita.
Very good,
Masamita. Yeah, referring to Sub Administrator Moore in Manacles. And Ochi says, "Oh, she conspired to help Skywalker escape." And Sly says, "You know, Vader meant to kill the boy, but the Emperor wanted him alive." And
Moss is like,
thank you. I could not remember his name. I just said it. He says, and what of Crimson Dawn and the Rebels? And Vader said, should you not first ask what of Lord Vader? I'm like, yeah, God, you're a petty guy, Vader. I got to tell you.
What a page, though. Look how that's drawn.
I know. You can almost hear the as he walks in with that shimmering light behind him.
He's absorbing the light and then he's reflecting the light. It's crazy.
And now she's like, you made it. I knew we'd make it. You might have doubted, but I never did. He's telling this to Sly Moore. And then Sim Masamita says, the question still stands. Sub-administrator. And she goes on to tell Lady Kira and her Crimson Dawn cohort departed in the Vermilion, and no one yet knows the full extent of their schemes. And Solo has vanished. And Masamita says, so, Lord Vader, you have lost both the fish and the bait. Vader says, Skywalker fled in weakness and fear. He is not who the Emperor believed he would be. And Sly says, and yet he has his freedom, and still he fights. Vader says, the boy has hope. But hope is not enough, as he lifts Sly up into the air, choking her. And the Emperor shows up in a hologram laughing. He says, so you are truly with us again, Lord Vader. And he just drops her. Vader just drops Sly and just kneels, my master. And of course, the Emperor likes this. He says, it is reassuring to hear that word. And so many misguided fools now seem to think that a million are stronger than one. Have you not found that thought tempting? And Vader says, Master, I serve only. He says, enough. Crimson Dawn has barely shown its strength. To get this far, it must have agents at every level throughout the Empire. Find these infiltrators, Lord Vader, and show them who is stronger. I love that they actually typed Ochi going, wrote Ochi going, heh, heh. Like a little flucky. And Masamita says, I warned you to Sly Moore. And Sly says, and yet I still live. The Emperor knows the value of my service. And Ma says, or perhaps, Sub-Administrator, you aren't important enough for him to even notice, as he walks off.
Yeah. And then we cut, you know, to the decks. The deck is assembled. We've got Death Troopers. We've got Stormtroopers. We've got General Ramadi, from the view out of the hangar bay, we see four Star Destroyers lined up as well. And Ramadi's just like, General Ramadi reporting for duty, Lord Vader. By order of the Emperor, I present you with all the troops you will need to destroy Crimson Dawn. And it's a lot of troops. And Ochi walks up. Well, isn't that nice? but we might need a more subtle approach. And Ochi just, what's the plan, my lord? Before you entered the Emperor's service, you were an assassin. Oh yeah, still am. Credentialed by the League. Go to this League and tell them they now serve me. And that's where we cut to Saki. And there's Ochi. You know, some assassins. Ochi, it's been too long. Really? I never really feel comfortable in the presence of another master assassin. Much less three. True enough. But these are strange times. We hear Vader's got an army, and he's about to point it at all the dark corners the Empire's left alone up till now. Nothing to fear if you're not Crimson Dawn. We heard that too. So, just to make sure, we're all good. We have a gift. And Ochi says, a gift?
And I just have to say, I love the character design, the costume design on these guys.
Oh, it's great. And it's really, kind of like really cool. Really ripped G.I. Joe outfits.
Yeah, they look like an intergalactic gang. It's awesome.
They do. Well, we better take a look at this, huh? Took us a while to secure, but I think you're going to appreciate it. You turn the page and Ochi's like, what, Kira? And there's Kira imprisoned. Ochi, my regards to you and your master. And Ochi's like, you guys actually caught the leader of Crimson Dawn? It wasn't easy, but we are the best. Anyone else know about this? You kidding? It was us and only us. And to us only go the rewards, right? Bad move. Absolutely. And Ochi just boom, 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 drops them. And then
the colors on this panel are great too. That orange and everything with him.
Yeah. It's glaring, but I love it. It's like, it reminds me of the, volume one of Star Wars.
Yes.
And then Ochi turns the laser prison off. And this was so shocking. This full page with, Kira, one hand on Ochi's shoulder, one hand on Ochi's left arm. A million stronger than one. A million stronger than one.
So they might as well be saying Hell Hydra at this point, because that's what Crimson Dawn has turned into in this universe.
It just goes to show you how pervasive Crimson Dawn has become. Of course, and we saw that, I think, with the fact, like when Leia and Lando and Chewie landed on the Executor, and there was a deck, one of the Imperials said, await the dawn. So it's just, it's really awesome. It's really cool. So I am super impressed with it.
I am too. I really enjoy this. I cannot wait to see what happens here. And I hate this book because I started out really not liking Ochia Bastoon at all. And this book has made him one of my favorite characters.
It really has.
He's very amusing.
For a guy who was just mentioned in passing and we saw in a flashback, he's getting a lot of really good character development here. So
yes, he is. Absolutely. So two big strong recommends from me this week on these two Marvel books. I think everybody should be reading both of them. What have we got for next week, Matt?
Well, if the schedules hold, we'll have three books from Marvel. We'll get Star Wars 18 and Bounty Hunters number 17, which were already delayed. And then of course we will get the High Republic number 11.
Excellent. Well, all things going as planned, we'll be back next week to discuss those three. Until then, for Star Wars Splash Page, I'm Jeff.
And I am Matt.
And may the Force be with you.
Always.
The Star Wars Splash Page theme song is Mark Hamill Can Handle by Chris Cape. Check Chris out at chriscape.com and on SoundCloud, on Twitter at Chris Cape, and on Facebook.
Stop peeing!